All right, before we get into my message today, has anybody noticed that our world is kind of crazy right now? Anybody? It's just me. And I know that I get up here and I kind of rail on media and social media and not just one media outlet, but just about all of them. And I've gotten to the point where I won't watch the news anymore because it just irritates me. And we listen to a 101.1 radio station in the office. Not because we particularly care for the music on there or John Tesh, but the two guys that I work with like the screamo slasher music, and I hate it. I call it, I won't tell you what I call it. And I'm a country boy, so, and they hate country. So we have to find a middle ground, and we've found it in 101.1. But John Tesh comes on every once in a while, and he'll say some things. And one of the things that he said, that they were doing a study, and they were saying that because of all of the media and what we're going through now in America and throughout the world, that people's mental health has suffered. There's a lot more suicides. There's a lot more depression. And they said one of the things to do if you're finding yourself depressed is stop listening to the news. And I've always railed on that. And I thought, you know what? I'm gonna prove this scientifically, that listening to or watching the news, and I don't care who you choose, it affects you. And so I went on, I have Yahoo as my homepage because I have Yahoo email. So it's kind of by default. But I thought, you know what? Because I'll start scrolling down and looking at the headlines, and I get more and more depressed, more and more irritated, more and more. And it's just, it's not healthy. It is absolutely not healthy. So what I decided to do was go through the entire Yahoo front page on January 5th, which was last Wednesday. And I began to break it out into percentages of what is being reported, what I saw, and everything like that. And there was that day 221 headlines on the page as you scroll down. 221. I was kind of shocked that there was that many, but there is. Sports made up 21% of that 221. 18% were ads. 40% were health, entertainment, celebrity news, and lifestyles. And it drives me crazy. It's like, why is this a headline? Oh, Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton wore the same dress. Who wore it better? It's like, who cares? Seriously. But they were in there. I lumped these two into one, COVID or bad news, because there's nothing good news about COVID. So I just lumped them together. 21% were COVID and bad news. Guess what the percentage was for feel-good stories? Less than 1%. Less than 1% was that, oh, that just made me feel good. Well, the other 99.999% is basically garbage. And so I wanted to, you don't believe me, I wrote down some of the headlines from January 5th on the Yahoo front page. And this is not all of them. This is just some of them. And here we go. U.S. views North Korea's missile launch as a signal. A Texas high school athlete was brutally beaten at a party by friends. COVID test positivity rates are breaking records. New COVID variant, IHU, with 46 mutations are detected in France. Macy's is closing more stores in 2020. Rand Paul comes out as pro-Omicron. The next U.S. Civil War is already here. We just refuse to see it. ASU students found guilty after harassing white students. I'm a hospice physician in Wisconsin. I am still watching people die from COVID. Florida deputies who shared an infant took their own lives. Why are vaccinated people catching COVID? Why hospitals are struggling with Omicron even as fewer people are getting seriously ill? Trump's border wall and the slow decay of American soil. Omicron wave is inundating California. How to protect yourself and others. Teacher accused of sexual acts with students at her home. Omicron's rapid spread is likely due to its ability to evade immunity offered by vaccines. We can't vaccinate the planet every 4 to 6 months, vaccine creator warns. I lost my love, says a husband, after wife, a Pennsylvania teacher's aide, dies of COVID. Biden again insists COVID a pandemic of the unvaccinated, even as fast-moving Omicron spreads widely. Basis for Christian band Big Daddy Weave dies of COVID a week after hospitalization. Stephen Colbert rants about COVID-19 outbreak. Tech founder out after anti-Semitic and anti-vaccine screed. CDC doubles down on isolation guidance, rejects more testing. January 6th rioters do not love America. They hate and fear the America we are becoming. Man dies in Whatcom fatal crash on Guide Meridian Tuesday. And weeks after Minnesota nurses warn of staffing crisis, the Mayo Clinic fires 700 unvaccinated workers. That's just some of the really awesome, uplifting headlines that I found on January 5th. And if you don't believe me, go ahead and look it up yourself. I want to give you all of the feel-good stories out of 221. First one, grandma of four working two jobs wins big on a $10 lottery ticket in Northern Carolina. That's awesome. A grandma who's still working and doing two jobs wins big on a lottery ticket. Are you not happy for her? Or are you angry that you didn't win it? A dog found alone on a highway led police to her injured owner after a car crash. How awesome is that? Little girl begs mom to shop online so she can sign with her favorite delivery driver. The world needs love like this. And they showed a picture of her waiting for the delivery driver to show up so that she could see him and sign. That's awesome. This South Milwaukee woman wandered the streets at midnight for months looking for her cat. A Christmas miracle reunited them. Now, I included that for joy. I'm not a cat person. Not a cat person, so this didn't make me feel any better. But I knew that some people would. That's it. There's your feel-good stories out of 221. Now, do you believe me that the news can actually make you sick? I know it makes me sick. But what do we do? How are we to act in a world like this? How are we to respond? And when I say we, I'm talking about Christians. How are we to go through and navigate the darkening world that we're living in? And that was kind of what I was thinking about for this year. I'm going to start a series of messages on a word that we have studied in the past, but I have taken it and run with it, and we are going to see what does the Bible say about how we are to respond? What does the Bible say to the about this? What is the secret of life? Have you ever heard people say, what is the secret of life? Well, everybody needs to find out. It's different for everyone. Well, is it really? In Micah chapter 6, verses 2 through 7, it says, "Hear you mountains, the Lord's accusation." And this is God speaking to his own people after culture and the nation and the morals of the people had gone through a down spiral. And God was saying, you know what? This cannot go on forever. You need to hear what I have to say. He said, hear you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? Have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? And this is the people speaking now. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? So the people are asking, what should I do? Should I bring more sacrifices? Should I give my firstborn? What is it that you want, Lord? Because God says, do I really want more sacrifices? And they begin to ask, okay, what is it that you want? How do we make this thing right? And today, I think that we can answer that question ourselves or ask questions ourselves. Shall I read my Bible more? If I want 2022 to be better than 2021, what should I do? Should I read my Bible more? Should I go to church more? Should I drink less? Should I try to cuss less? Should I be nicer to my wife? Should I volunteer to help in kids' church? What is it that I should do? And then I ask this question, well, what is the secret to life? What is the secret to life? We often see it in movies. We hear it in music, in songs. And here is the answer. I'm going to give you one verse out of the Bible that tells you everything that you need to know about what the secret to life is. And it is in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. The term O mortal is mankind, Adam. And he's talking about everybody who has ever lived. And it says, he, God, has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Period. That's it. That is it. And so we're going to take a look and we're going to break down those three things. The first one is to act justly. In the Hebrew, it is mishpat. And it is a verdict, favorable or unfavorable, pronounced judiciously, especially a sentence or a formal decree or a divine law, either individual or collective, including the act, the place, the suit, the crime, and the penalty. So to act justly is actually referring to how we respond when someone creates a penalty or an infraction or offends us. It says we are to act judiciously and justly. How often does it happen in your life and in my life where someone says something or does something that irritates us or ticks us off and we automatically want fire from heaven to come down and consume them? If I had the power to do that, every time I got irritated with someone, there would be no cars on the freeways. But how awesome would that be? The other day, in the midst of the snowstorm on Thursday, everyone was pretty much playing cool. They were driving, you know, good, being respectful, keeping distance, except for this one trucker hauling a trailer, tractor trailer, and he is bombing down on people, riding right on their tail, moving, weaving in and out of traffic. And I just thought, oh, if I had that power, that truck would be gone. But when we act justly, when people offend us, when people say things that we don't like, they do things that we don't like the way they dress, or a part of a society that we just don't really care for, we tend to pass judgment where we are the judge, the prosecutor, and the executioner. And to act justly means that you take all of these things into consideration. The act, the place that it happened, the crime, and the penalty. That's what it means to act justly. Giving people the benefit of the doubt. Going first and foremost to, I've never walked a mile in their shoes, so I don't understand where they're coming from. And when we judge, first of all, the Bible says, don't judge others, because you're going to be judged with the same measuring rod. How many times have you caught yourself going, ooh, I don't want to be judged the way I just judged this person? See, we jump to conclusions. We assume that we know all of the information. That's why this is, act justly is set up like a courtroom. A courtroom is designed to find out what the penalty was, where it took place, what was the intent, what were the circumstances surrounding the act, and what is a just penalty, and are they guilty or not guilty? When we do that to other people, when we come to snap decisions and judgments, we are not acting justly. And that's the first thing that he says. You know what I require of you? Act justly. Consider the other person. Consider all of the circumstances. And I believe God says, once you have all of the information, all of it, then you can pass judgment. And the reason he says do not judge is because we never have all of the information. We never have all of the information. I've told this story before, and when I go into the hospitals, as I'm walking by people, I always smile. And people that smile back, I pray a blessing on them. And there's one person walked by and just looked me straight in the eye. I smiled, said, good morning. They just walked on by. And as I walked by, I went, no blessing for you today. And then Jan Viegas said, maybe that's the person that needs the blessing the most. Because I don't know if they had just got chewed out by a doctor, or their dog died, or what. I don't know the extenuating circumstances. All I saw was no smile, no nothing. And I judged that person on that, and I had no idea about what had gone on in that person's life prior to that, on that day. I was in the wrong. So we need to act justly one to another. The next one is actually in Proverbs 10:16. And this is kind of talking about God's judgment on people. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they went from underneath God's grace to God's wrath because of that penalty. They had trespassed or had an infraction against God, and God is a just God. God deals justly with everyone. Well, there's scripture in Proverbs verse 10 or chapter 10 verse 16 that says this: the wages of the righteous is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. You see, when we commit our very first sin, we are under penalty, and the payment for that penalty, according to God, is death. And I've had a lot of people say, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. How can he do that? How can he set up? That doesn't sound like a very just God. How can that be fair? I've never sinned bad enough where I should have to pay with my life. I've actually had people say that. I've never sinned bad enough to deserve death. Well, according to God's law, you have. And it's his universe, not yours. So he has the right to establish. Let me tell you a little story that might clarify this. So a young man is in his history class, and he punches a fellow student in the face. For his punishment, the penalty for his infraction, is that he has to stay in from break. While he is being kept in from break, he punches the teacher. So he punched the student first, then he punches the teacher. For his punishment, he is sent to the principal's office. While in the principal's office, he punches the principal. And for his punishment, he is sent to the school police officer. While talking to the police officer, he punches him in the face. And for his punishment, he is sent to jail. After getting out of jail, he goes down to the local town hall meeting where the president is making his speech. He makes his way up to the microphone and punches the president in the face. His punishment is a prison term. In all cases, the infraction or the trespass was the same. It was a punch to the face. The difference is in who the recipient of the infraction was, and depending on the recipient, the penalty was different. The infraction is the same. The penalties were different. For a trespass against a fellow student, the penalty was basically a timeout. For a trespass against a teacher, the penalty was being sent to the principal's office. For a trespass, the same trespass against the principal, the penalty was being turned over to the authorities. For a trespass against a police officer, the penalty was jail time. And for the same trespass against the President of the United States, the penalty was prison. What do you think the penalty for a trespass against the Almighty God should be? We've all punched God in the mouth. Have we not? It's called sin. And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." You see, God set up the judicial system, and he goes by the judicial system. Not the system that we have, but the system that he established. And when we are guilty of punching God in the face, we deserve death. Does that give us a little different perspective? I could go out and punch Larry. I guarantee he's going to punch me back. And that will be it. Because Larry's not going to go to the authorities and say, "Jimmy punched me in the face." But if I walk outside and I find a police officer and I punch him in the face, I'm going to the ground and I've got a baton in the back of my head and I'm probably getting jail time. Same infraction, different penalties. When we punch God in the face, the Bible says we deserve death. Romans 5, 17 through 19. Oh, wait, I want to go back to Romans 6, 23, because there's a second part that I did not read. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, we are guilty. We are guilty as charged when we punch God in the mouth. But we have one that has said, "I will pay that penalty for you." And that's why he got up on that cross and allowed them to crucify him. He was paying for every single punch in the face to his Father. For any who would be willing to accept his gift of grace. It boils it down simply, because it doesn't make any sense to say, oh, Jesus died for my sins. Well, it makes sense when you know you start with, I punched God in the face, and someone else took my record and gave me a clean bill of health, gave me a pass. And all we need to do is accept that free gift. So God is just. He is ultimately just. God in the Old Testament, you see his punishment is all depending on the infraction or the sin. We see at times where if someone killed someone else, the payment was death. We saw it with David. The baby that David had with Bathsheba out of wedlock and then had her son or her husband killed, what was God's punishment? He took the child. And David, in his grief, was okay because he knew that God was being just with him. He prayed, God, don't take the boy. And God says, no, this is the punishment. And David accepted it. Did it make it sting any less? No, it did not. But he understood that God is a just God. And it's not because of God being a meanie. David understood, I did this because of my own transgression. I did this. Romans 5, 17 through 19. For if by the trespass of one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. That is the story of the Scriptures. God creates, man rebels, God sends an answer, and brings man back into relationship with himself. From Genesis chapter 1 to the end of Revelation, that's the story. Between the two is just how the story is going to be laid out, and the players, and everybody here within the sound of my voice are one of the players. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all punched God in the mouth, and we need someone to pay that penalty, because you can't pay it. You cannot pay it. Micah 6:8, going back to that verse, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy. And we're going to get into love mercy. And the last one is to walk humbly with your God. The word there in love mercy, the word mercy is in the Hebrew, chesed. And it simply means loving kindness, but it means so much more. And that is the title of my messages that are coming up. It's chesed. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever studied Hebrew, but they have some very guttural sounds. Kind of like you got COVID. And if you look up chesed in the Bible or in commentaries or in dictionaries or whatever, you'll find different spellings. Sometimes they spell it C-H-E-S-E-D, They're trying to get that ch sound, that ch, but we don't have a ch in English. And so you'll see it spelled H-E-S-E-D, and that's how I am going to spell it throughout the messages. And I'm going to pronounce it Hesed, because it's a lot easier to say than Chesed. So if you look it up, you'll find different variations. But this word, as we are going to find out, means so much more than loving kindness. And we're going to go ahead and put that aside and go back to walking humbly with our God. And the Hebrew word for that is tzana. If you see a T and an S together, it's like the Z in pizza. But it's difficult to say for some reason at the beginning of a word. It's tzana. So I'm not going to pronounce it anymore. But if you see that T-S, it means the pizza and disease in pizza. We're going to get out of here early today because we're not going to start. But that verse, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That is the epitome of what every Christian should be doing on a daily basis. You want to know the secret to life? Right there. Act justly with one another, love mercy, and to walk humbly with their God. The problem is you will not walk humbly with somebody you do not know and somebody you do not trust. To walk humbly means to be modest, lowly, and submissive. Modest, lowly, and submissive. So walk modestly, walk lowly, and walk submissively with your God. When you walk with someone, you walk alongside of them. Do you not? I don't understand. I've seen husbands and wives. In some cultures, the wife walks behind the man. It drives me crazy. When you walk with someone, you walk alongside of them. And this says when you walk with God, you walk humbly. You are the submissive one. Have you ever watched a person walking dogs or a dog, and that dog is not well trained and has a mind of its own? We have an older lady that walks out by our house just about every day, and she has 3 or 4 dogs, and they're bigger dogs, and it's crazy watching her walk her dogs, because they're everywhere. She's constantly stepping through leashes and spinning around because they're all going in different directions. They don't mind her well, and it's just chaos. Sometimes our walk with God can be that way. We have our own mind of what we want to do. We have our own mind and where we want to go, and we don't necessarily want to go where God wants us to go. And so we jerk at the chain. But to walk humbly with God is to walk like those dogs that are well-trained. You know, if you have a well-trained dog and you take it for a walk, you don't need to put it on a leash. He knows exactly how to behave. He knows exactly what to do, exactly not to do. And you know why he does that? Because he loves his master. He has grown to love and trust his master, that his master knows better than he does what he should and should not do. Are you that person with God? Are you walking humbly with him, or are you pulling on the leash? There's nothing more exhausting than walking a dog who doesn't want to be walked and has his own idea on what he wants to do. Do you have Jesus as your Messiah and your Lord? Or do you just like the salvation part? I've heard people say, well, you know, I believe in God. But I'm not crazy about it. It says in the Bible, if you love me, what? You obey me. If you don't love me, you won't obey me. If you love me, you'll walk humbly and submissively with me. If you don't love me, you bite at the chain. And if we bite at the chain long enough, God will let go of the chain. You won't be out of his reach, but he'll let you do what you want to do. And a lot of times when that dog gets off that chain, it's crazy time. They go nuts. How many Christians today are walking humbly with their Lord? How many people who call themselves Christians are walking humbly with their Lord? You see those three things? They're very simple, but they're not easy to act out. It's not easy not to snap judgment on people that you don't like. It's not easy to love mercy and loving kindness. In fact, I would venture to say there is a serious lack of loving kindness in this world today. And why is that? Because people are not walking humbly with their God. You see, they all go hand in hand. When you're walking humbly with your God, you will act justly and you will love mercy. You will love Hesed. We're going to learn a little bit about Hesed throughout all of the scriptures. And one rabbi was quoted as saying, Chesed is basically the personification of the entire scriptures. It all boils down to that. Walking humbly with your God, acting kindly and justly with mankind. And so that, I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. That is where we are going. Starting off this new year, I've had enough of the crud and the garbage. I have made a vow to turn down the crud and the garbage. It's almost impossible to turn it off completely, but you can limit what you're listening to and who you're listening to. And my encouragement to you and to myself is to learn how to walk humbly with my God. Because when we can do that, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter how dark things are around you. When you are doing these three things, it does not matter what the rest of the world is going through. Belinda was telling me about an interview that she was listening to. And if you look throughout all of the scriptures, the church was at its strongest during times of persecution. When things were going terrible is when the church rose up. People stopped looking at the circumstances, fix their eyes on Jesus, and live their lives like that. And that's when it grew. That's when it was its strongest. I was listening to a pastor who was interviewing a pastor from China. And he was about to go back to China. And he was the head of an underground church there because it's illegal. Having a Bible in China is illegal. We take this for granted. I can carry this in a store. I can carry it on the street. I can have it in my car, on my dashboard. And you might get some people that don't like it, but who cares? But if he were to do that in China, he's going to jail. And he was interviewing this guy, he was going back to China, and he goes, I'll be praying for you because things are so difficult over there. And he goes, no, the church is alive and well in China. I'm going to pray for you because the church is lukewarm in America. The church in America is fat and happy. The church in China is growing. And they're seeing incredible things happen because God's grace and His mercy are poured out on His people and received through difficult times. That's when they thrive. You know, there's certain athletes that when things get difficult, they rise to the top. They've just got that something extra that a lot of people don't. When I was playing baseball, I was a pitcher. And I don't know why, but in the first few innings, I always struggled. And as the game wore on, I got tougher and tougher. And other teams that had played against me, they told me later, they said, if you're going to get to him and knock him out, you better do it early. Because he's going to knock you out in the later innings. There was just, I don't know what it was, but we need more Christians who are like that. Because we're getting into the later innings in life. And God is going to need those who bow their neck and say, I'm not going to, I refuse to be drawn down by the media, by my politicians. I can't change them. I can vote, and that's the power that I have. But you know what? I have a God who's called me to do something. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I read another article where it was talking about a lot of the things that were going on in America and in the world, and a few people started standing up and saying, no, enough is enough. And it's those people who are changing things. When is enough enough? When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you either roll over and die, or you stand up and fight. So let 2022 be a year that you stand up and fight. When you get your backbone, despite everyone calling you crazy or stupid or whatever, because that's the state of America now. If you don't agree with me, you're an idiot. There is no debate. There is no, I'm going to love you even though we disagree. It's either or. The line's been drawn in the sand. You're either this or you're that. You're either with us or you're against us. Like, no, I'm not for either. I'm for him. Period. Jesus said, I will be about my Father's business. He didn't get into politics. He didn't get into that. His focus was on eternal things. And too many Christians' views and their fixation of where they're looking has been skewed. You know how God divides people? Believers and unbelievers. That's it. He didn't say, well, I want all you progressive believers over here and you conservative believers over here. No. You're either a believer or you're not. That's the line in the sand. That's it. Our culture likes to draw many lines in the sand. Nope, you don't belong to this group. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. No, you know what? We live under the governing authorities. Jesus said, pray for those who are in authority over you, but keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. So I would encourage you, turn down the noise. Read one of the pages and then tell me how you felt after reading it. I get sick to my stomach, irritated and mad. So I've chosen not to be as sick, irritated and mad by focusing on other things. Acting justly, loving chesed, and walking humbly with God. If I can do those three things, it doesn't matter what happens in this crazy world that we live in. Because you know what? You can only change it one person at a time. And the first person starts with you. It starts with you. It's not, oh, if we could just vote so-and-so out or don't vote so-and-so in. You know the only perfect governor we're ever going to have? Jesus Christ. And it's only going to happen when he comes back. And in the meantime, we got to put up with it. We got to put up with it. Do your part. Vote according to your own conscience. But other than that, don't focus on it. And I know there are a lot of pastors out there who are getting caught up in the political stuff. And that's great if that's what God's called them to do. That's not what God's called me to do. God has called me to teach and preach the Word of God. And none of you are ever going to go to the pearly gates and say, you know, well, you know, Pastor Jim, Pastor Henry, Pastor Aaron, Larry, they didn't teach us the Word of God. Wrong. Wrong. So let's make 2022 about Micah 6:8. Acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we are still able to gather together to lift up your name and praise. We are so grateful that we can gather together to study your word. Lord, I pray that your anointing would be upon this series of messages that would help us to understand more who you are, to help us to understand more who we are, and to not live our lives governed by the circumstances surrounding us, but to stand firm upon truth, your truth, the truth that never fades, the truth that never changes. Truth that is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be obedient to you. We thank you and ask that you would be with every Bible-believing church as you call out to your people. Lord, you always kept a remnant no matter what was going on. Lord, let us be part of that remnant. Everybody said, amen, you are dismissed.